problems every day. Makes me want to holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for the radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for the radio.
Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware.
I've got strategies. I've got strategies for living.
Strategies for living radio.
Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Oh, you know we need them. Yes, we do. We need those strategies, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Strategies for living. So are you ready? Ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I'm ready.
All right.
Yeah, I'm buckled in.
All right, good deal. Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into 1017 FM, 710 KEO. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC Lauren Leon McMillan. You know, Lauren, it seems like every time you turn around, somebody is talking about narcissist and being in relationship with a narcissist.
Yes.
I'm beginning to think that the world is full of narcissists.
if you have a tendency to listen to pop culture, you might be inclined to think so.
Yeah, and in a lot of pop culture, you know, it's talked about so much. And yet, I saw a recent article in Time magazine on, in fact, the title of the article was How to Deal with a Narcissist. It was written by Jeffrey Kluger in the February the 10th issue of Time magazine.
Yeah.
And got my attention in the first sentence, because in the first sentence, Jeffrey Kluger says narcissistic personality disorder is relatively rare.
Yes.
Affecting just 1-2% of Americans by some estimates. So, you know, when I read that first sentence, I said, wait a minute. You know, because if you listen to pop culture, i.e. read Facebook or Instagram or whatever your poison is, you would think that we're surrounded by them.
No. Right.
So I thought it would be good for us to we'll kind of use the Time magazine article to jump off of. But I think it'd be good to talk a little bit about narcissism and narcissist.
I think so. I think it's become, you know, it's been a word and a phrase that has kind of been usurped by the public.
Yeah.
That, you know.
And usurped without a full understanding.
Yeah.
Of
almost becoming, you know, psychobabble at this point, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll try to clear some of that up, talk about it, and talk about what you can do if indeed you do have a relationship with a narcissist. Folks, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you being with us here on Strategies, and we appreciate our sponsors making it possible, the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage. Back in a moment. Narcissists, are they around every corner? We'll see. Welcome into 1017 FM, 710 KEO. Welcome into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, and talking about narcissism this evening. How do you are you in relationship with a narcissist? How do you know if you are? And if you are, how do you deal with it?
Right.
I mean, if you look at pop culture, it would make you believe that we're all in relationship with narcissists. And yet, narcissistic personality disorder,
right,
which is what we're talking about here in narcissism, is it's relatively rare. It affects 1-2% of Americans. But having some form of a relationship with somebody who has narcissism, the article says, it's not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
The disorder is characterized by arrogance, mm-hmm, by grandiosity,
right,
a lack of empathy, exploitiveness, mm-hmm, aggression, and this constant need for
admiration
and affirmation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
sense of entitlement.
Yeah. Amy Brunel, who is professor of psychology at Ohio State University, says we're attracted to narcissists at first. And Brunel is a very prolific researcher of narcissism. So she says we're attracted to narcissists at first.
Mm-hmm.
They're charming. They're fun. They're energetic. And then over time, the negative qualities come out more and more. She wrote a recent scientific article on how to understand narcissism and cope when you're in relationship with a narcissist. So, again, I wonder why there's been such an explosion in pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
To, again, 1-2% are actually diagnosed. So, all right, you can do the math. I mean, you know, there's not that many narcissists out there.
No, not that actually qualify
for the diagnosis. Now, there probably are quite a number of people who have narcissistic
traits or qualities
or tendencies.
Yeah.
But
sure,
that doesn't mean they meet that qualification.
No, and right? I'd argue on some level, all of us have little pieces of everything.
Yeah.
So we all have a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Not diagnosable at all.
Right. Right.
But you asked the question, you know, why has it exploded? And I really don't know. I don't think there is an answer or the answer, but, you know, I just kind of riff on where I think maybe part of it has come. I think it's cultural. A lot of it's cultural.
Well, now, what do you mean by that?
Especially Western society, right? Where we are incredibly focused on the individual and the, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, kind of a macho
mentality.
Now that's evolving, and I'm very glad for that and to see that. However, for decades past, even centuries past, I might say, this had been a festering, and we've always been in the West, I can say, more of an individual, you know,
an individualistic society, right?
Right. And so narcissism, I think, would lend itself to I kind of see it as a facade of authenticity.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, you know, we're also
what I want people to see and think
is that
about me,
right,
as opposed to the genuine,
mm-hmm,
me,
because
in other words,
often,
how I feel and think and see myself.
Yeah, because often what lies beneath, if we're talking about a true narcissistic personality disorder, person with narcissistic personality disorder, often what truly lies beneath is a very scared, very unsure, very insecure little child, girl or boy, you know, whoever it is. That's often the case, is what's at the very heart of that. Now, will they admit to that? Will they be able to see that? You know, that's
that would be my question. Do most narcissists realize,
mm-hmm,
that they're narcissists?
I think in the classic case, no.
Mm.
I think in the classic case, that's where the gaslighting is big involved. You know,
right.
It's not
we don't see ourselves. Maybe we can't see ourselves as other people see and experience us.
Right. And, yeah. You know, of course, as with everything, there's a spectrum. So this is not to say if you know someone with narcissistic tendency that they'll never be able to see it. But chances are if they've developed enough to the point where they're displaying a lot of these overt signs, right, and which includes a lack of empathy.
Right.
Okay. So let's just take that. If you have a lack of empathy for others, clearly there's a disconnect in your own emotional self.
Right.
Because if you can't connect with the emotions of others, that's telling me
can you put yourself in other people's moccasins, in other words?
Right.
Right.
And if you can't do that, if you can't understand how others feel, that's telling me you really don't know how you feel.
Right.
So there's a lack of connection with self there.
Okay.
In that internal piece.
All right.
So oftentimes, as we know, psychologically, what happens if we can't even see who we are.
Right.
If we can't see past the ego stories that we've created for ourselves, there's no way we're going to see other people.
You know, and again, we talk about that all the time, don't we? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the reasons that we talk about it so much. It's because, you know, does a fish know that they're in water, right?
Right.
No, not until you take them out. And that's kind of the deal. Mm. You know, we are so ingrained in our culture.
Yes.
Caught up. And you were talking about a few moments ago, the individualistic, I mean, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. I mean, that goes all the way back to if we're talking about American culture.
Right.
How we were formed, mm-hmm. how we came to be.
Right.
Right.
So it's ingrained.
Yeah. And so how do we then go about experiencing ourselves? I mean, you know, it's not perhaps it's more common, and perhaps that's one of the reasons that it is so talked about in pop culture. You know, as opposed to, you know, the
other thing here we have to remember, I think, is that we are all across all domains, areas, you know, whether you're looking at politics or psychology or world events, what we're seeing is we know we are in a strange shifting time. Right.
Right.
And part of this strange shifting time is that what I see is that there's a lot of things that were initially hidden rising to the surface.
They're
bubbling up
and the light is shining upon them.
Right. And
them.
So yeah. Right now we're looking out at a world and we're seeing all of the, what some people might say, ugly or bad things that are happening in the world. And there are some people saying, oh man, things are worse today. And my kind of question there is, I think perhaps it's always been there.
Yeah.
It's just the amount of publicity and information
and awareness.
The light
is shining brighter.
Yeah, now. And so the fact that we're seeing, and maybe even at this point over-diagnosing, even as lay people, people with narcissism, right? I can see that as a positive as well. You
right.
know, it's just showing that, okay, we're coming to awareness with our wounds. We're becoming aware of our wounds. The problem I have with people who overthrow that label, oh, he's just a narcissist, she's a narcissist, you're in a relationship with one, etc.
Right.
Is when you do that and you stop there.
Right.
Like, okay, well, if you're going to use that label, what does that mean to you? And how are you going to go about maneuvering then
right.
from that point?
So Dr. Brunel, who I mentioned earlier, describes narcissism in terms of presentation. She says narcissists are self-centered. They're entitled. Very often they think the world should revolve around them.
Right.
But she says they don't all present the same way.
No.
And there's a large body of work, and this goes back decades, which divides narcissism into three types. Did you know this?
Mm,
the
no, tell me about
agentic
the types.
Narcissism,
Agentic narcissism,
communal narcissism,
okay,
and vulnerable narcissism.
Right. I've heard of covert narcissism
and
overt narcissism.
Of the three, she says agentic narcissism is the most recognizable, also the most toxic. So agentic narcissists hold exalted views of themselves, seeing their competence, their intelligence, as far greater than others. And so in an effort to maintain that self-image, they'll often, put down the talents and temperaments of friends and colleagues and family members. They're more interested, invested in status and admiration than they are in intimacy. These folks self-promote tirelessly and harbor grandiose fantasies of their prospects and projects, and often engage in rivalries with people, especially people at work colleagues who threaten their sense of primacy. We got to take a break, but we'll come back and we'll continue to unpack these different types of narcissism. This is interesting stuff to unpack. Do you think you may be in relationship with a narcissist? Are you worried that you're one? That's actually a good thing.
Yes.
That's probably an indication that you're not right there.
Yeah.
We're talking about narcissism today and what to do if you're in a relationship with a narcissist. That's today here on Strategies for Living. Stay with us. You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it, too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283 and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
Welcome back into your daily dose of radio rehab here on Strategies for Living with Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. We are talking about narcissism today. You know, if you believe social media, my goodness, it must be over 50% of the world. The people we're around are narcissists. And yet it's just 1 to 2%.
Right. That can actually be diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder.
Right.
Right.
So we've been talking about the fact that there are narcissism is divided into three types: agentic narcissism, communal narcissism, and vulnerable narcissism. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And this is interesting. This is kind of new to me. I've heard of the overt versus covert narcissism.
Right.
So.
Right.
Let's see how these play.
A lot of this comes from the article is from Time Magazine, written by Jeffrey Kluger, features Amy Brunel, who is a professor of psychology at Ohio State and a researcher in terms of narcissism. So I suspect a lot of this is, of course, from her, her work.
Okay.
Okay. So... yeah, the agentic narcissist that we were talking about, she said, if you ask these narcissists about themselves, they say, "Oh yeah, I'm so pro-social and I'm so great." But if you ask their peers about them, they actually see them as being kind of aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, communal narcissists seek out admiration by being often excessively caring and helpful.
Mm.
Sometimes offering assistance when it's neither needed nor requested. And that kind of other directedness seems inconsistent with the me first impulses of narcissism. However, the behavior does not come from this place of general,
right,
a genuine altruism.
It's coming from a place of I need this for love.
I need to be loved and admired.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Instead of I'm doing this out of love,
right,
I'm doing this for love and appreciation.
Right.
And I think often with communal narcissists, it would probably make sense that these are the types that they might do something for you, right?
Right.
And then be upset if you don't, show a proper appreciation.
Yeah, communal narcissists, they think they're the most helpful person, that no one can do as much good as they can do.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, you got it?
Yeah, got it.
And then there's the vulnerable narcissist. And this is the most fragile type. Vulnerable narcissists, they don't have the overwhelming self-regard that is the province of the agentic or communal narcissist. They overcompensate for a deep sense of low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And so often they can be socially inhibited, they can be defensive, and they can be anxious, they can be depressed.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty painful suite of feelings that they try to battle with their own arrogance and defensiveness and egotism and self-centeredness. So Brunel says vulnerable narcissists feel bad about themselves. They're chronically mad that they're not getting what they think is due them. So they tend to be more hostile. And for a while, she said, I struggled with understanding why vulnerable narcissists are narcissists at all, except that they share the core feature of self-centeredness. So I think what Professor Brunel is saying is something that she's underscoring, something that you said before before I just shared that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you said it's not a one size fits all. It's not her work would indicate that there's many different ways that narcissism expresses, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. It's a spectrum like anything else.
Right.
And I think a classic, what we define as or would think as the caricature or classic narcissism would be that male presenting, full of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And entitlement.
Yeah.
So I think just like with any of the other disorders or disabilities in females, it's less studied and it's not going to show up the same way.
Right.
Right. But that's not just across gender. I use that as an example, but that's across all people.
Right.
as well.
So this begs the question, Lauren, what causes narcissism? Mm-hmm. What are we, you know, what are we dealing with here in terms of causality? So again, the roots are varied. Mm-hmm. They're as varied as the types.
Right.
So there was some research that included a 2014 study of twins in China, which suggests that genetics may play a role.
Sure.
With both grandiosity and entitlement seeming to be shared more by the twins than by other siblings. Other studies comparing adopted children to biological children point to hereditability too, with the biological children exhibiting more of the behavior of their narcissistic parents than adopted children. But the research here in this area is not robust, so there's some evidence that narcissism is genetic, but that's, Dr. Brunel says, it's small. So this type of research is also cloudy. Within families, you're looking at shared genes, but you're also looking at behaviors that are passed, that are learned generation to generation. So in general, most researchers in the field of narcissism lean toward the, you know, there's always the nature versus nurture debate, right? So most researchers really lean toward the nurture rather than the nature school, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to answer from the perspective of grandiose narcissism that parents kind of create these little narcissists, according to Dr. Brunel.
Right.
Too much parental praise, Brunel writes in her new paper, can cause the child to develop this inflated sense of themselves as special that can only be maintained through continual admiration by others. And then the same parenting trait can also give rise to communal narcissism, with exalted children growing up to believe that they're uniquely qualified to save the world, to serve the world.
Okay, yeah.
Vulnerable narcissists are created in the opposite way.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
By parents who dismiss, ignore, even demean. And these kinds of starvation rations of parental approval lead the child to look wherever, other places for emotional nourishment.
Right.
So with vulnerable narcissism, a lot of times children are criticized harshly, and they start to experience that anger and that rage at not being seen.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And something else I might think about is that I've noticed and wondered is often narcissistic parents can also then breed and raise narcissistic children.
Yeah.
So like, yes, I mean, but then it would be the same, it would be the same types of nurture that the parent grew up with is just repeating the pattern.
Right.
So that makes sense.
So, okay. Now here's the $24 million question.
Okay.
Can a narcissist change?
Absolutely.
Okay, you didn't hesitate.
I believe all people can change.
Yeah.
The question is, the real $24 million question is the person willing to see what they're doing, how their behaviors are affecting others, and then willing to make the change? So it's not a question of can, it's a question of will.
Yeah.
And is that something the person wants to do? I mean, because I think that is, you know, the shtick that people get into when they get into a relationship with the narcissist. You know, this weekend we saw a play called I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change.
Yeah.
Right?
Good play, by the way.
Yeah, excellent.
You get a chance to go to Shreveport Little Theater.
Yeah,
it opened this weekend.
I think it's still one more weekend.
I think so. Yeah.
It's a really
great play.
Good
cast. Yeah.
But that, I say that to you know, I think people who get into relationships with narcissists kind of have that mentality of, well, maybe I can change them. Maybe I can fix them. Maybe I can save them. Yeah, they're a little full of themselves, but yeah, maybe being in a relationship with me will help them, or fill in the blanks, whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
And here's the deal, you know, the question is not, can they change? Of course they can. But do they want to?
Yeah.
And that's got to come from in within them. It can't come from anywhere else. No matter how wonderful of a person you are in relationship, it's got to come from the person themselves.
Here's the thing. Narcissism is not like other emotional and psychological conditions.
Mm-hmm.
The person with a phobia doesn't want to be terrified of spiders.
Right.
And the person with depression doesn't want to be sad. There's a lot of narcissists, on the other hand, that are sold on the idea of their own specialness, their own uniqueness. And often they don't, it's like you're saying here and underscoring, they don't want to change.
Right.
And even if they know that their behavior is working against them, they don't want to change. There's a body of research that suggests that narcissists know that other people find them annoying, and they know that their reputations aren't great,
right,
but they don't put that awareness to work and change, and they still think it's the other person's fault. They think, well, you're just jealous, and you just can't see how great I am. If you saw it, you know, then you'd know, right?
Right.
Sure. All right. When we come back, we got to take another break. When we come back, how do you cope? How do you cope with a narcissist in relationship? And when do you know when to say,
okay,
sayonara?
We got to go.
Yeah, I got to get out of here. Yeah. Time to go. Yo-ho, time to go. Talking about narcissism and narcissists today here on Strategies for a Living. More to come. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
From the bayou to your table, we're keeping it alive with flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here with a twist in the tail, alligator, Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Godfather sausage, bold and true. But Andre's bringing the bayou to you.
Get the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather, alligator Italian sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you want to holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare.
looking for strategy.
And welcome back into Strategies for Living here on 101.7 FM, 710 KEO. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, and we're talking about narcissism today. How do you cope with narcissism in relationships? Now, you could be in a significant relationship with a person with narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in a family, you could be friends with one, you could work with a person with narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can help to be direct about the changes that you'd like to see the person make, but to stress that you're making that request because that person is important to you.
Mm.
For a child, if you get a parent angry, they can take away all of your resources. And I would suggest that rather than necessarily confronting a parent, you can approach them in a way where they say, Mom, I really care about our relationship and I want to make you happy. And then try to be assertive. Of course, in a romantic relationship, we talk about boundaries a lot, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so I think in a romantic relationship, you've got it. It helps to set up clear boundaries for behaviors that will be okay,
I think,
and won't be okay.
Boundaries,
right?
With a narcissist, no matter what your relationship with them is going to be vital.
Yeah.
For everyone's health involved.
Now, the tricky thing is if a narcissist is your boss.
Yeah.
If your boss is a person that is dealing with narcissism, because like a parent, that person may have the ability to deny you something that mm-hmm. is pretty important.
Right.
Like your job.
Yeah. Your livelihood, right?
So, you be mindful of what your goals are in any encounter with a narcissistic boss, what you're trying to get out of a meeting, say, and not getting rattled or distracted by bad behavior. In other words, have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Have an agenda for every meeting. Know what you need from it, and then set expectations for what you're going to get and what you're not going to get.
Yeah. And in the situation with the boss, something like, well, in the situation with all, but I think especially in the boss situation, it might be most important to remember one of the four agreements, which is not to take anything personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Good point.
And to be impeccable with your word.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We've mentioned the four agreements a lot here on Strategies. We may have some new listeners. The little book is, in fact, we recommend it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Here on the radio, we also recommend it for folks we work with individually, you in the counseling room, me in the coaching room. And it's called The Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz, widely available. In fact, we recommended it to someone
last week
they went to Barnes and Noble and there it was. Mm-hmm. So it's a popular little book. All right, let me ask another question. When do you know that it's just time to say bye? It's time to say goodbye.
When you have tried to put up boundaries and they've continually been, when you sense your personal health deteriorating.
Yeah. Dr. Brunel says often the healthiest way to handle a relationship with a narcissist is to just leave it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So when it comes to a romantic relationship, anything that makes a person feel unsafe, mm-hmm. any suggestion at all of violence absolutely requires leaving.
Yeah.
Those relationships must end. Short of that, things often depend on how much of an effort the partner without narcissism wants to continue to put in.
Right.
Right.
And even if you're going to continue or not continue with the relationship, a very important piece here is acceptance. You have to accept the quote unquote narcissist where he or she is. You know,
right.
this is their behavior. They've shown me over and over and over again
right.
what their patterns of behavior are. And so now I've got to protect myself in whatever way that might look like, you know, whether that's cutting ties completely or whether that's placing in some boundaries or, you know, putting really strict boundaries around my time, my space, my emotions.
Right. If you've tried everything there is to try and you're just not getting your needs met, mm-hmm. if you're chronically feeling torn down, not seen, not heard, if you're tired of, if you're just exhausted, if you've tried everything, if you've tried therapy, if you've tried working with your partner, then Dr. Brunel says might be time to say goodbye, might be time to end, because the stakes aren't as high, in just a friendship. But the same guidelines apply,
right?
You know,
absolutely.
So
safety first,
yeah. And of course the job thing. I mean, the when you have a good job with a bad boss, maybe you're doing work that you love, but there's a manager you loathe. You know, you've got to assess whether it's possible to do the same kind of work elsewhere.
Yep.
And, you know,
that's where you start taking into account, okay, how well am I functioning?
Right.
What can I do on my end to manage and protect myself? And then, you know, go from there. You know, at some point, yes, always still safety first. If you find yourself in a position where you are overstressed and are thinking about it constantly and it's interfering with your work and your home life, that might be a time to consider, you know, where else can I do this work or what else can I do?
Now, even after you free yourself from a toxic relationship like this.
Yep.
You probably have work to do.
Absolutely.
And we'll come back and talk just a little bit about that. But but I think that, you know, it can feel so good when you get free and you think, oh, it's all behind me. And yet we gotta.
If you were in it, there was something there for you to learn.
Yep.
Within yourself.
And there's some grieving that may have to happen. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking about narcissism today here on Strategies for a Living, and what to do if you are in relationship that and it's not as prevalent as social media and pop culture would have us believe. However, it's important to talk about. We're doing it right here on Strategies for Living. Be right back. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. Mm-hmm. You get discounts on movies. You get concession upgrades. You get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center.org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with LearningRx Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, LearningRx Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Shreveport.
Welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living Radio here on 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, talking about narcissism today. Not as prevalent as you might think it is if you're, you know, buying into pop culture and
pop psychology,
psychology, social media. And yet, it's important to talk about. Mm-hmm. So if you do have to free yourself from a relationship like this, just know there's still work to do.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You're going to have to, like you mentioned before break, you're going to have to grieve.
Yeah.
Even, you know, because even if it is the end of, and it is a better place for you, you'll still have to grieve whatever that relationship was in your life.
Right. If you want more info, and you have access to a Time magazine, the article that we've been referencing was written for the February 10th issue of Time by Jeffrey Kluger. And the professor that he talked to is Amy Brunel, from psychology professor from Ohio State University, and does a lot of research in narcissistic personality disorder.
Yeah.
We probably need to do some more on this.
We probably do, with how prevalent it's being talked about.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of clear things up, and whether or not you can check all those boxes, it's important to know how to step around people with the traits.
Absolutely. Lauren, thank you.
Thank you, folks.
We appreciate you tuning into Strategies for Living, and we appreciate our sponsors making it possible. The Robinson Film Center, and Azalea Cleaners, and Pintail Roofing,
oof, oof,
and Learning RX, and the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call to make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.